Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
You know the song.
Where the kisses are hers.
Sing it with me, Conrad.
I still don't know it. I've listened to it so many times now.
You need an education, buddy. You got to watch some Three's Company. Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Chwaba. We are broadcasting statewide all over this great state of ours from our City Deck Landing Studios here in downtown Green Bay. So great to have you with me. If you have not checked out the news roundup at civicmedia.us, please do. It's at the top of every local radio station page. You get about 8 minutes of news, sports, weather, and my Hollywood minutes are all there too. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're informative, sometimes both. Check out the news roundup at Civic Media. Tons of fun and a great way to stay informed. Justin Superstar is joining me at 8:35 to talk about his film, Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, a very heartfelt film about breast cancer and how one family dealt with it. And, you know, with a name like Superstar, you're creating very big shoes to fill for yourself. So Justin does that with his movie making. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. She is one of the organizers of Mrs. Roper's Romp, and her name is Megan Bruckshin. Am I saying that right, Megan?
Megan Bruckshin.
Bruckshin, yeah. Wait, what? Did you add a name to there? Is there two names? Megan Bruckshin.
No, just Bruckshin, but however you say it is good enough.
I like your attitude.
It's a married name.
Well, my wife got stuck with Schwaba, so she could probably relate to you.
Yes.
Hey, it's great to have you. Tell us about Mrs. Roper's Romp and what we can expect, where we can get tickets, what's it for, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, so I am actually the marketing director of Felician Village. We are a senior life campus in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Oh. We have all different types of living for older adults, independent living, assisted living. We have a membership program for people who are still living in their own homes and apartments, a skilled nursing facility. And we are a nonprofit organization, and like any nonprofit organization, you always want to do more than maybe the budget allows you to do. So we do have an amazing group of a donor development committee, okay. And as some needs were presented, we started thinking through ideas, and two of the committee members, Michelle Birschbach and Carla Leiben, had somehow come across a Mrs. Roper's Romp on Facebook and brought it up as a potential event idea,
okay.
To support a pub and patio at Felician Village to for our independent living residents.
Oh.
We think it's a perfect connection with our independent living residents. And in January, we decided to move forward, and then our event is happening on Friday, April 19th in Manitowoc. So a very quick turnaround, but
yeah.
We are super excited.
So you are trying to raise money for Felician Village to add a bar patio type thing to encourage more tomfoolery.
Whatever they choose to do out there is okay with us.
Okay, so I was reading about the event. It sounds really fun, actually. Do people dress up like Mrs. Roper? And did you watch the show when you were younger?
I did. It actually was playing on Nick at Night,
yeah.
When I was younger.
Okay.
And it, just kind of reading more about Mrs. Roper, you'd think that she was older in the way that it was portrayed on the show, but her actual age, I believe, was 48.
Oh, wow.
Which is significantly younger than our residents.
Yeah.
And only slightly older than me. we are encouraging everybody to dress up. There have been a lot of conversations about caftans, large jewelry, lots of red curly haired wigs.
Judging your husband, making him feel like less of a man.
Exactly. Just channel your inner Helen, and anyone can be a Helen that night.
So how?
Or Stanley, or whomever.
Right. Okay. So I saw also, you guys have you kind of compare where the Ropers lived with Jack and Chrissy and Janet to Felician Village in Manitowoc. Where is that
Correct.
Connection there? How do you see that connection?
So Mrs. Roper, I think one of the things when you're watching the show is she really related more to the likes of the three roommates, Jack, Janet, and Chrissy, than maybe what her age or how her age was portrayed. And she definitely has this spirit of unity, camaraderie. She wants to be happy. She wants to have a good time down at the Regal Beagle. And that's what a lot of our residents, they want to stay active. They're throwing their own happy hours. They're going to shows and events out in the community, and they want to be like a Mrs. Roper.
You absolutely have to. If you do get the money for this patio, you have to call it the Regal Beagle. You do realize that, right?
There are some standards, I do believe, that probably should come along with that, yes.
So are the residents embracing it? They love the idea. I mean, they're probably old enough. They were older probably, than the characters on the show. I'm guessing maybe not older than Mr. Roper though.
They are really embracing it. We have quite a few residents that will be in attendance. They have planned their costumes that they will be there. And that's a neat thing about this event too, is seeing how truly intergenerational it is.
Yeah.
That's what Mrs. Roper stood for. It's just that fun. It doesn't matter if you're 23 or 93. You want to have a good time.
Well, it matters a little bit. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, there's some spunky 93-year-olds at Felician Village.
I bet there are.
And we encourage them to keep being spunky.
So do the residents, I assume they're a little more progressive than Mr. Roper was. Like, they don't have a problem with a man living with two women, whether he's gay or not, I hope.
No, I think they kind of just do what they need to do. And if it benefits them, then they're happy.
My guest is Megan Bruckshin. Don't blame her. It's a married name. She's here to promote Mrs. Roper's Romp fundraiser at Felician Village. Can people, like, let's say people listening right now, can they go to this, Megan?
Absolutely.
There's still tickets?
Open to the public. There are still tickets. So tickets are available on our website, FeliciaNVillage.org.
Okay.
And honestly, I've just been doing some Google searches. If you do Mrs. Roper's Romp Manitowoc, it's one of the first couple things that show up. We are selling them at our facility's reception desk. Address can be found online as well.
Okay.
Otherwise, you can also purchase them at the event on Friday, starting at 5 o'clock, for $20 at the door.
You got bingo, a DJ,
yes,
raffle baskets, trivia, specially themed cocktails, appetizers, and 50-50 raffles. Those are all the rage. Boy, people love their 50-50 raffles, don't they?
They do. And we are actually splitting it up into three raffles.
Okay.
So we'll draw a winner at 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30.
Oh, how fun.
It just gives you more chances to win. Maybe a little smaller pot, but then three people can go home happy.
This might seem like a strange question. I don't mean to be creepy, but in the spirit of Three is Company, are there a lot of singles there? Like, if there are single people in the community, is this a place to meet someone, or is it mostly couples?
I think there's a little bit of everything. I actually just texted someone this evening and said there might be some Ralph Furleys hanging around, and and you might find the love of your life.
Oh, wow. Ralph Furley is the love. He's better than Larry, though, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Definitely.
So also, the other thing I want to hit on here is you have these names for different categories of the winners. I thought that was really cool. Can you describe that? One is Jack, Janet, and Chrissy. I think that's the second place prize.
Those are sponsors. So
We
reached out to community businesses, and so we have four different sponsor levels. We had the Mrs. Roper, which is our $2,500 sponsor.
Whoa.
Those were the best that can be, because no one can beat Helen.
Right.
And then we had Jack, Janet, and Chrissy was our $1,000 level sponsor. We did have Ralph. He was $500. And then we had a $100 Stanley sponsorship, because he's obviously a little cheap. So,
but he's lovable in his socks and sandals.
He is.
Yeah.
So there is a $100 sponsorship option for people that want to participate, but maybe are being cost effective about that.
Yeah.
And honestly, the level of support we've had for our sponsorships has been mind blowing, but that goes to show that, again, at any age, no matter where you are, you can support people wanting to stay active and having a good time.
Absolutely. Conrad, have you donated yet? I think I see a Ralph Furley sponsorship all over you, man. Just
does Conrad know Mrs. Roper? Is he familiar with them?
Well, I've enlightened him a little bit. We had, what were we talking about Three Is Company for a couple weeks ago? Maybe it was like John Tripper's birthday or something. Yeah. So he's learning and he'll binge watch on TV Landernik at night. And, you know, he just found The Office though. So we can't rush him. We got to kind of ease our way back into history. And, so we just have about a minute left, Megan, and I really do appreciate your time tonight. What we do on the show is talk about what we're watching and share recommendations and that kind of thing. Are you watching anything on TV, binge or cringe watching?
I am currently watching the series Louder Milk on Netflix.
Funny. Great show.
It is very good.
What season are you in?
Maybe not. Just finishing season one.
Oh, nice. That's so great. All right. Well, that one kind of saw a rebirth when it went to Netflix, and I highly recommend that. And I hope you watch all the seasons. It's really funny.
I plan on it. My mom shared it with me. It took me a little bit of time because I thought it was about milk or something, and just it's someone's name.
And instead, it's just about a curmudgeon-y guy and a bunch of off-color jokes. It's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's cool that your mom likes that, so good for you. Megan, good luck on Friday. I hope you guys have a
thank you so much.
Big turnout, and good luck constructing the Regal Beagle with all the money you're going to make.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Anytime. That's Megan Bruckshen. Not her fault. It's her married name. It's right up there with Schwabe, I think. Don't you think, Conrad?
I don't know which one I'd rather
careful. Have. Megan Schwabe. Pete Bruckshen. I think we should just stick with what we have. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, filmmaker Justin Superstar will be here. That's coming up next on Nightlight, and I'm going to read some more of your texts, too. This is Pete Schwabe. We'll be right back.
A slow fade on the song.
I'm gonna find out where you live, and I'm gonna pipe like the worst music ever into your apartment. That's the Spice Girls. It's Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday today, and yeah, there you go. She's a Spice Girl, and that song was in my head in the 90s, and I could not get it out. And now it's gonna be another 10 years thanks to the K-Man.
You're welcome.
hey, you know what? It was Seth Rogen's birthday this week too. I'm not necessarily a Seth Rogen fan, but people love him.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
How come we didn't really celebrate his birthday this week? We just kind of didn't follow through on that.
Yeah, we did not do that, and I'm a really big fan, so I should have had a couple of clips for him.
Yeah, my son and I go back and forth. He likes Seth Rogen. I don't dislike him. It's just one of those things where I don't see the appeal. Although he's created some of these movies. He's obviously a good comedy writer. He's in the Judd Apatow crowd. That's got to help. But, yeah, he's only 42. What does that mean?
I thought he was older now.
That's gotta be he's lying about his age.
He's 50.
Yeah. He's 22 when he did the pregnancy Knocked Up. No way. That's gotta be, it could be a misprint. I'm not saying Seth Rogen's lying about his age, but he could be. Hey, Jim Schmidt. All right, here's the thing. Jim Schmidt stopped by. Check out Mino and the Mayor if you haven't already. It's a very popular show. The guys are great. They have so much fun in the morning. Jim and John, and Jim is promoting this Margarita Bay. It's called Meet Me in Margarita Bay. And he left me a flyer. I can't go, but I told him I would read this. And it's, did he give you one, Conrad? Are you going to this?
I think he said he left me some tickets.
Okay.
But I didn't even look at the details yet, so.
He's got the Land Shark. It's a Jimmy Buffett tribute band called the Land Sharks Band. And they're going to be serving Jimmy Buffett's favorite foods and photo opportunities with Charlie the Cockatoo and Mexie the Macaw. I don't understand what that is, but I'm guessing they're just playing up the theme. And you can actually get your picture taken with Jimmy Buffett. Nothing, Conrad? He's dead. But he will be there. You can get your picture taken. It's going to be unsettling, but Buffett will be there. No, it sounds like a really fun night. I wish I could go. There's going to be an auction and raffles. You're supposed to wear island attire. Go bananas. It's National Banana Day, folks. I don't think that's an accident. Coconuts or just chill. It's a tropical rock party. Sure to knock your flip-flops off. So that sounds like a bash. I bet Jim's parties are really fun. I know I couldn't go to his Christmas one either because of the hours of this show, but we did call him, though. Remember
that? We did, yes.
Yeah, Mino got on the phone. They were having a good time. This is at the Epic Events Center, April 19th. That's this Friday from 5 to 10. So if you're interested in Meet Me in Margarita Bay, check it out. Jim Schmidt, the former mayor, will be there. I assume John Mino will be there, but I cannot confirm that. But John likes a party. I imagine he would make an appearance. And Jim was just here, and I put my water down, and he had a little water bottle, too. So he left his, and I just picked mine up and started. I have no idea whose water I'm drinking. Luckily, Jim looks like he practices good oral hygiene. So if this is Jim's water, I guess I'm okay. I don't think he's got scurvy or anything. And there's no floaters. All right, I'll keep drinking it. too graphic? All right, so Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Thoughts overall?
You know, I've seen it twice, and I think the last season was more disappointing the second time when I watched it.
No kidding.
Because I know what's going to happen, and I'm just like, when I watch this, it's going to suck even more because I remember what happens.
So you did not like the ending, correct?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the ending was a little lame. I think I said the other day I didn't mind the ending because the show was just so weird and crazy. Almost anything they would have done, I would have been okay with. Or maybe not okay with, but I wouldn't have been surprised by. But that was a little weird. Like, oh, we were all adversaries. Now we're coming together to form a council. Yeah. Is that the part you had an issue with?
You know, that and my favorite character was Jon Snow. So
did they kill him?
They didn't, no.
No.
Which I was happy that he didn't die, but
yeah.
He was forced out beyond the wall, and, you know.
Oh, but he
had to stay on the Night Watch for the rest of his life.
I thought he was getting his own army together.
And they had a show for him in development, but.
Yeah.
What did you say it was?
Well, they just didn't. Yeah, it was one of the Hollywood minutes. They didn't. They didn't have a show that he signed off on or the network signed off on. They just couldn't. They didn't think it was great. He didn't want to compromise his principles, supposedly. And the network just didn't, or the network just said no, which is most likely, frankly, what it is. Robert from McFarland from the 608 says they did kill Jon Snow, but he pulled a Jesus.
Yes.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
I forgot about that. See, it's so weird. Like, I just watched it. I was probably one of the last people to see this show. And I don't remember a lot of it.
See, and I wouldn't clarify it as him getting killed off because, you know, he's still alive.
He's still alive. Right. Yeah. No, you're right.
But I don't.
That's just Robert's sense of humor. We've gotten to know Robert. We know where he's going. I like it, too.
I like how he phrased it.
Me, too. Sherry checks in from the 920. Hi, Pete. Hi, Sherry. How are you? She says, I'll be there. She's referring to Jim's party, I believe. This is Sherry. So, folks, I don't know if this is arm-twisting enough, but Sherry will be at Jim's Meet Me in Margarita Bay party Friday, April 19th, 5 to 10 at the Epic Events Center. Sherry, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you homework if you don't mind. I would love for you to check in on Monday and tell us how the party was. You can either call or text or whatever, but I would love to have, because Jim's going to say it went great.
Well, yeah.
Jim's going to say there was not an empty seat. There was not a dry eye in the house. I would like to hear from someone who was actually there. So that could be fun. And Sherry just sent a funny meme. Is that a meme, Conrad? Kid with the cowboy boots. It looked like skis.
That is actually the Yodel kid.
Who's that? Ever.
He went into the middle of Walmart and started yodeling.
Oh, wow.
If you've never seen it, just type it in YouTube.
No, that's okay.
He made a career out of it, though.
I got the gist of it. Robert also says, that was a great show. I feel it was HBO, not the writers or directors messing it up. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I got enough enjoyment out of the show because I wasn't really totally invested in it. Like, I liked it, but I'm not a medieval guy. But I thought they definitely hooked you. You know, the dragon girl and Jason Momoa, their storyline. And my favorite, though, was it was Rob, right? The guy who was in line to be king.
Yes.
Before the Red Wedding. That was awful. And I probably should have stopped watching it after that because it was so bad.
That's terrible.
It was terrible. And the woman who played his lover, I don't think they were married, was Una Chaplin. She's a descendant from Charlie Chaplin, and she's stunningly beautiful. And I think they killed them both, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're not going to let her live. Okay. All right, so we got that to sort out. The whole reason I brought this up was we go to the trial clip, and we never even got to it. So maybe we'll play it before the end of the show. But our question, you can still get in on the fun if you want. In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? Let us know, folks. For me, it's a cheeseball, log, loaf, or head. For Conrad, it's canned tuna, 855-752-4842. We're coming right back. Coming up next is director Justin Superstar. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Peach Wabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Peach Wabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
I almost missed these texts. Robert says, Seth Rogen wrote The Boys. Great show. My son loves that show. I've only seen one episode. He also says, Quick Trip, didn't let us forget it was banana day. I am going to have a banana party, and it's going to be great. But you got to dress up. You get a banana when you come in the door. It's just a bunch of people standing around holding bananas. It'll be fun. Just like back in the 70s when they used to have those banana parties. Conrad, you're too young. You don't remember that. I think this is Robert, too. I can't tell who sent this text. They killed off the right characters. Speaking of Game of Thrones. Tomorrow night on the show, the guys from Busted Pencils will be here. Tim and Johnny. It's going to be so much fun. They have such a great show here on Civic Media. If you have not checked out Busted Pencils, it's on right before Nightlight from 6 to 7. Check it out. They do a great job, and they're really fun to listen to. They make education fun, like most teachers do. My wife's a teacher. She makes it fun, too. And John Fanta will be here from the Green Bay Rockers. Right now, I'm excited. We're going to talk a little more film. Got some good up-and-coming directors on the show tonight, both with Wisconsin roots. And right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to the show, Justin Superstar. Justin, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Are you making really big shoes for yourself to fill, having Superstar as the last name? That seems like a lot of pressure.
You know, it is even more pressure. It's a combined singular name. Yeah. So it was my email address when I was 14. And so I went into life with high expectations, Justin Superstar at Yahoo. And when I got my first kind of real corporate job, I remember walking in the door and they're like, Justin Superstar, what's up, man? And I was like, you know what? This is dumb, but people remember it. Yes. And so I'm just going to roll with it because I think it's funny.
I was using it like when I was preparing for the show, I kept putting Justin Superstar and I'm like, all right, eventually I'll look at his last name, but this way I know who it is. I know when he's going to be here. I know the film. And then I kept Googling. I'm like, wow, this is his name. This is what he goes with. And then I saw another name.
It's out there, man.
Yeah, it's out there.
IMDb, everything, you know, like because I think when I was adding my name to IMDb years ago, I was like Justin Johnson, number 28.
And oh, I'm like, okay, yeah.
That's a lot of competition.
It is. No, you're doing all right with Superstar. I have to tell you, I have a thing about IMDb. Like, I have actual credits, but I did some stuff at my son's school that were reading movies that were like 20-minute movies that only the kids at the school were supposed to see and the administrators. And since it was L.A., I used real actors. Like, there's really good actors in it with credits. Well, some guy was trying to launch his daughter's movie career and put these two reading films on IMDb. And I'm like, come on, dude, this is a joke. You can't put that on there. And I contacted IMDb and they wouldn't take it down.
You know what? We live in a hellscape. That's what I gotta say. It could not possibly be worse than this.
I think I need a superstar to follow up, and you're just the guy to do it. So, Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. I have not seen it. It looks like a really cool movie. Can we see it yet?
So we have distribution, which is actually somewhat rare for films these days. As I was doing the festival circuit last year, and the film, I can explain, it's a documentary. It's about my super conservative Christian parents who live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and their secret prosthetic nipple business for people who have been through breast cancer. And it's this family story, it's their love story. And as I was touring the festival circuit over the last like year or so, it's pretty rare to get distribution these days. So we're very lucky. We're with a company called Kino Lorber. They're doing a DVD run, and our launch date currently is September 3rd, right after Labor Day. So all really awesome stuff, but it's just a little bit down the line still.
Okay. Well, fair enough. And I didn't want to pester you for like a Vimeo link or anything. I just thought it would be fun to have you come on and tell us about it.
Then I can come back, right? Or maybe not. I don't know.
Well, let's just see how this goes. No, you can come back anyway and tell us about it. I'd love, before you release it, I think you told me in one of our exchanges that you're adding an executive producer, like an A-list type. Can you talk about that, or is that not public knowledge?
I don't know if I can really yet. We're probably going to do a press release about it. But needless to say, it's like one of those things where this film is a Wisconsin story. It's Eau Claire is not the biggest metropolis. It's not a Los Angeles. It's not a New York story. This is like about my parents, and it's about a very obscure thing. So it's one of those things where if you have that kind of attachment with someone who is known, you can take a documentary with a weird title like Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, so-and-so is attached. So it's been a pretty funny journey because there actually was another A-list actor who, again, I can't name, but she's been looking for projects to do narrative versions of. And so yesterday morning, I was scrambling to get her a downloadable Vimeo link so she could watch it on her flight to London. So it's like this kind of stuff where it's like, it's very much a word of mouth film, which is why I'm sure when people Google it, there's not a lot of, there may be 28 Justin Johnsons on IMDb, but there's only one Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory on IMDb. So you will find our website if you Google it. And having that kind of like stamp of approval from our distribution company and this upcoming executive producer is going to be, I think, a big deal for us.
So it might become a narrative, like a feature film, in addition to the documentary. Oh, that's a great story, actually. Wow.
You know, it's part of the journey for a lot of, I just think there's so many films out there that are popular that are like, this is about, you know, a documentary about someone being murdered or a cult or whatever, right?
And
sometimes these are made into narratives, but this is it's a quirky film. It has plenty of emotion. You'll laugh, you'll cry, all that kind of stuff. And it's about my parents. And so I have this vision of like imagining, you know, what the A-list celebrity cast would be for my particular film, but it's still just a vision. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of trip this takes me on.
Well, I wish you luck with that. That's pretty exciting. And I just want to say, like, for those of you listening, this is a really, based on what I saw, just a really heartfelt, like, your family, like so many families, went through this. You found out your mom had breast cancer. The fact that it's your dad that created this nipple, you know, because a lot of women that have double mastectomies or breast reconstruction, correct me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but they didn't have nipples before, and your dad designed a prosthetic nipple, correct?
That's exactly it. And so it's really interesting because I think growing up, a lot of us just think that our parents are boring or, you know, whatever, right? And I was like, my mom's like the most outgoing, lovely people person in the world. And my dad is like very shy. I kind of describe him as, you imagine like the dad from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. He's like the shy, you know, inventor type who just likes to be inside and tinkering on things. And so all through growing up, because I'm the oldest of five kids, my dad, who was very non-confrontational, would use this. He worked at a supercomputer company. Like, he had always been coming up with other small businesses and things like that. So one of my, I'd be like, yeah, dad's kind of boring. And then I'd get into my childhood and I'd tell them about this device that my dad invented called the media timer. So this is, you know, peak 90s. We've all got, we're watching TV, watching Fox Kids. We're playing N64. And so dad was like, I don't want to yell at the kids to tell them to get off the TV, but I do want to control how much time they can watch TV. So he took like, you think of like a bathroom timer for like the overhead fan. You can set it for like an hour, and then when it dings, then the fan turns off, right? Or the heat lamp. So dad took one of those. He took like one of those plastic cases that you do with a key that you would use for like maybe a thermostat. And he had this vision, this idea of, if I take the wire from the TV, I strip it, I put that into the timer, I put it behind this locked plastic case, I can set the TV timer for 45 minutes. Jeez. I can go take a nap. And then as soon as those 45 minutes are up, we're locked. I mean, it's like literally unplugging the TV. And this was just I think we could have been very wealthy if dad put that on as a product in the 90s.
Oh, he never did anything with it?
Helpless.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Just our family alone had this media timer thing. And I would tell people stories about like that kind of thing growing up. And they'd be like, that's really weird and unique. And so as I dug through the archival, so my dad, I'm a filmmaker, of course, but my dad was always capturing our life and borrowing cameras from people at the church. And so we have 100+ hours of this very like fly on the wall, just kind of watching life happen, home videos. And so I was able to pull from this tapestry of these home videos that dad shot, from me literally being like a four-year-old seeing a video camera for the first time and asking my dad, how do you see from that into there? And until like my mom's cancer, all that kind of stuff. So as a documentarian, when you have that wealth of material, it allows you to paint a really interesting picture of the characters and of the story.
So that is the voice of Justin Superstar. He's the director of Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, which will be released soon. That's really fascinating. Tell us about when you first approached your parents about making the film. You've got all this material. I know as a documentary filmmaker, you must have been like, wow. Like, that's like finding 100 pages of a script that you could just use at your leisure. But were they receptive to the idea? Did they want their story told on camera?
They really, it's one of those things where, like, for example, this is not a multi-million-dollar venture with offices and employees. It's literally my mom and my dad. They've now done about 5,000, I think maybe 6,000 now nipples over the course of 12, 13 years of running this company. They don't have a PR division. They don't want press. They just want to do their thing. It's their way of working together in their golden years. And it's really more of a ministry than a business. And so at this point, there have been many years where this was really a secret to us. It was all the nipple laboratory
really?
Was locked away in my sister's old bedroom.
Wow.
And it was just, we just weren't, everything was covered, right? All the nipples were covered. All the dad would use, like, you know, there's toothpicks and toothbrushes, and it's all very DIY and scrappy, but we just didn't really know what it was all about. And so eventually the news kind of trickled out, hey, dad, mom and dad are making nipples and all this, but it's not like that kind of like sit down at the table when I'm home for Thanksgiving and just ask about it. So as a filmmaker, Midwestern, you know, we have our own kind of ways that we can be a little bit prudish or conservative. I was like, okay, I can get mom and dad to tell me all the details if I tell them I'm going to make a short documentary about it. So this thing started as, like many great things, started with a lie. And I was like, it's going to be 5 minutes. I'm going to film for a weekend, you know, and dad, you don't even have to talk. It's going to be all just B-roll of you making the nipples, and mom's going to do all the talking. And so I started making this in 2015. And it was something where I couldn't really, it was originally about, it's called My Dad's Nipple Factory. I couldn't really figure out the core of it. And so I filmed a little bit, I learned a little bit, and then it kind of sat for a couple of years until I realized this is really my parents' love story. And once I connected to that love story element, I saw just a bigger, more universal picture I could paint. And so those that weekend turned into 7 years of me Whoa. Filming as I was completing it and going from this is a short to having this. I don't know you that well. I don't know how well you knew your parents or know your parents, but like for me, it became this thing where, oh my God, like I get to know so much more about my dad's upbringing, my mom's upbringing, more about them as people. And of course the Nipple Factory, but beyond that, it was this incredible moment where I was able to really bond. And in some ways it was like therapy. And I say like your parents are a non-renewable resource. Like if you don't ask these questions, if you have these questions and you don't ask them, there's a point in time where you could never get an answer. And so for me to collect this family history and to create this film, which is like, you know, I hope to become at the very least a family heirloom. Like my wife and I are expecting our first kid in like 3 weeks. And I'm like, oh my God, now our daughter can watch this film that I made and like get to know her grandparents better. So it's all like, there's such a deeper meaning to it. But at the end of the day, you know, no, I kind of tricked my parents into this, but it's really led to a lot of like really powerful things with our family and, you know, with my parents as well.
The good Christian boy told a little white lie and got a whole movie out of it. That's pretty cool. My guest is Justin Superstar. We have a few more minutes with him coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tonight's question, if you still want to get in, you got a couple minutes here. In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? Joe from the 715 says cottage cheese. There is a theme here with the cheese, and I got to tell you, cheese, some cheese I like, if it's in the form of a head, loaf, log, or ball, no thanks. Conrad says it's canned tuna. So Joe, thank you for the text, Joe. Cottage cheese, yeah, that can be, that's hit or miss. That's kind of a disgusting look, but people love it. It's supposed to be good for dieters, too. Look at me giving nutritional tips. Hey, my guest is Justin Superstar. He is the director of the film Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory, which is going to be released soon. You had a good festival run, right, Justin? It was a big hit.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we were lucky enough to be the opening night film for the Milwaukee Film Festival. So it was literally like the opening night of my dreams. It's at this incredible theater in downtown Milwaukee. And 1,000-seat theater, we were sold out. We got several standing ovations. A lot of my family was there. It was really, really cool. We probably did about 12 or 15 festivals. And so really my last year was just traveling around and meeting filmmakers and all that kind of thing.
That's so fun. You and I have a few things in common here. I'm also the oldest of five. Definitely connected with my parents later in life and also had a film play. I'm assuming you're talking about the Oriental.
Yeah. So awesome theater.
That's a beautiful theater. They do such a great job there in Milwaukee. So sometimes in my life, I look back and I say, if you had told me at 20 or 10 or whatever that all this stuff was going to happen to me, it's just things that make you in awe of life. And I'm thinking about your story here. Have your parents even grasped where their journey has taken them? From being opposites and falling in love to the cancer and then her own husband coming up with this innovative fix-it remedy for nipples and then their own son telling the story. Like, have they even grasped the journey they've been on through this documentary somehow?
They're starting to. And the really wild thing, Pete, is that this is the beginning of this story because we've really only been available to festival audiences and a few select special screenings that we've done. So I really described, like, this is a film about becoming whole again. It's my mom becoming whole again. I was somewhat estranged for many years. And so me coming back to the fold of the family, and then also literally moving from LA for, I was about LA for about a decade, to moving, now I'm in Minneapolis, so I'm close to home. And that impact alone has been incredible. So if we never got distribution, if I just played one festival and that was it, I would say that this film has been a resounding success. And what's amazing about this film is this is a word of mouth film, and people haven't been able to really share it yet. And so what's going to be amazing is, you know, in September, when this film comes out on streaming, it should be, it's going to be available on DVD, pre-order on Amazon, Apple TV, all that kind of stuff. That's when we're going to start to see the impact of this Wisconsin feel good. It's, you know, it's a wholesome religious, but not preachy. I'm not religious myself. And so, but I get along with my parents. Like, I think in this time of division, it's really important to have a story where it's like, we can all get along and, you know, hey, nipples are important and, you know, let's figure it out.
Absolutely. Very well said. You've done a lot of work for networks, and you make your living doing commercials and stuff like that, if I understand correctly, and projects for corporations and branding.
So I, much like my dad, I have evolved into a business owner. And so I worked at Google for a while. I was at startups before that, very early internet video startups. And so now I have a social media agency. We're called BMP Creative. And I have somehow 35 full-time staff that works for me, editors, accounts people. Our biggest client is Netflix. And we did, last year alone, we did 3,500 videos for their social media. So it's pretty wild, where my dad likes to keep things small. I'm like, let's hire people, let's do stuff, you know, that kind of thing. So it's that's my day to day.
Very nice. So we have a couple minutes left. How do you have another feature film in your plans, or are you happy doing the social media? There's a lot more. I did a lot of interstitials for networks, and I loved, or even when I did stand up, you write a joke, you try it that night. You shoot a short thing, a 30-second spot, you air it. Features take so long, and you have to be so patient. Yeah, you're so right. Patient, yeah. So where are you going to go from here? Are you going to try to make another film or keep doing what you're doing?
My next project is coming on May 6th. Her name is Dahlia, and she is going to be a baby. And so that is what I'm going to be focusing on. After my first feature documentary, which came out in 2015, I was like, I'm never doing that again. And then this story found me. So another story could find me. I currently am very happy being a CEO and business owner, and never meant to make a second one. People say it's good. Hopefully your audience agrees when it comes out. And, you know, we'll see what happens, but I feel pretty happy with where I'm at right now.
That's fantastic. You have to come back before it opens up, and we'll try to help you get the word out. I have one more question for you. We talk about movies and TV on this show and what we're watching. Are you watching, binge watching or cringe watching anything at the moment that you could recommend?
I just started the new Fallout series on same. Amazon. Unbelievable. I'm on it in the middle of like episode 2, and as a huge nerd and fan of those games, and just a fan of like shows, I'm just like, this, I don't know if it's just cabinet for me, but I'm like, I'm very much enjoying it. I also enjoy that my wife does not care about it, so I can watch it whenever I want, and that's great.
That's pretty cool. Did you play the video game?
Oh yeah. Okay. I played all of them all the way back to the first one.
Because here's the thing. Conrad told me about that show. He watched it. I've watched two. I love Walton Goggins. I've watched 2 episodes. It's not something I can watch before bed, but I do like them. But I do feel like it has a video game feel to it. So I'm having a little trouble getting into that. But visually, it's really cool.
It's really good. And there's lots of fan service that you will miss if you're not a fan of the game. But that doesn't matter, because Goggins is amazing. And, you know, some great. And Ben from Lost, right? That creepy guy. He's been creepy again. I'm like, this is great.
I'm waiting for Hulu to remake Pong. I think that'll be a fun video game movie. But sure. Justin, thank you so much for your time tonight, buddy. Good luck with your new project, the baby, giving birth a different way than making films. And we wish you luck, and come back again before the film opens.
Thanks. Yeah. Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. Google us. Get on our mailing list. Thanks so much, everyone.
Absolutely. Have a great night. Thanks, Justin. That is Justin Superstar. That is his name, folks. Google it. Google Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory. Like he said, get on a list. And we'll try to remind you too when the film opens in the next couple months. All right, I'd like to thank all of my guests tonight: Mike Cheslick, Megan Bruckshen, married name, Right, Conrad?
She
made fun of it. You can laugh.
Well, yeah.
No, there's nothing.
You don't want my options on it, you know.
It's a cool name. Thank you for your text, and thank you to Justin Superstar, too. Can't wait to see the film, and great to have you with me tonight. And thanks for being part of the show. This is Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin. Take me to